out, it's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Denise Lee.
And Denise, I have to apologize so much right now. We're going to have drilling throughout our entire interview.
That's all right. I can handle it if you can handle it.
I can handle it. We're two tough, strong ladies, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. I can just make it out, but I'm sure that the listeners, they're all good.
Yeah, of course, of course. Hopefully we get some breaks in there. So I'll just jump straight into it. The big news, well, one of the big stories this week has been the Serious Fraud Office filing charges around the National Party's donations. So with this being announced in election year, are you concerned about whether these kinds of charges will cause anxiety for New Zealand votership towards the National Party?
No, not at all, because we maintained right from the very beginning that the accusations were baseless and false, and Simon Bridges has always maintained that. And of course, there we go, SFO have cleared both Simon Bridges and the National Party of wrongdoing. They're pursuing others, and you know, we wish them well with that particular pursuit, but it doesn't involve us, and we're not going to be commenting anymore. So in regards to it somehow you know, carrying on to the rest of our really important busy election year, no, because there's major other issues that we want to focus on. Failure of Kiwi Build, light rail, making sure this government actually delivers on stuff because it's failed to do so far.
I guess one of the perspectives that could come out of this from voters is that this is something that kind of slid under the radar for the National Party. What kind of would you say to people who might be concerned about that kind of oversight?
Well, I mean, nothing slid under the radar, right? Because one particular person tried to make an allegation, which turned out to be baseless and false. And we've been cleared of all wrongdoing. So the matter's behind us. And there's no behind-the-radar activity. Everything that has been hurled at us, we've come back and said it's not true, and it hasn't been true.
Just wanted to get quick comments on that, so thank you. I'll shift on to a proposed east-west link that you were speaking about on your Facebook page. Now, infrastructure has been a big hot ticket item at the minute. What are your thoughts on what's been announced so far?
Yeah, so the government announced this big so-called package, right, of infrastructure investment, getting roads going, getting builds going. But here's the laugh. They've just repackaged what we were doing that they stopped 2 years ago when they got into government. They got into government, stopped it cold, froze a whole bunch of construction projects. So we've been on this 2 year pause, and hey presto, they're now reviving them. So in the meantime, you'd think, oh, well, you know, maybe they just needed time to figure this out. But that 2 year pause has majorly put back construction timelines, procurement, our international reputation for, you know, for big international bids and companies that need to be brought in to do stuff for jobs this size. These are big jobs. So we it's created a whole bunch of uncertainty, Laura, and, you know, I think it makes New Zealand look bad. So there's a lot for this government to answer for basically rehashing and, you know, hey, it's quite flattering, rehashing our plan from 2 years ago.
Well, the response I have seen from government in response to National's comment that this is originally National's plans, what they've said is that, yes, it is originally National's plans on a lot of these projects, but it didn't seem that there was ever really room made in the budget under National for these plans to take effect. So it didn't really seem tangible under National. What would you say to that?
Yeah, well, we've actually countered that, and Simon Bridges put out a press release yesterday highlighting, like literally highlighting his press releases, because ironically he was the transport minister back before this government, and he's highlighted literally in his press releases where it says that roads are funded. So if anyone wants to jump on our National Party page website and have a look at our press releases, you can see for yourself in black and white, where we have, we literally went out to the public and talked about the funding. So we're countering some of that misinformation that the government's putting out. They're embarrassed because they know they've got no plan, they've had no delivery, and it's actually really shameful that all they've been able to come up with is our stuff, which they sat on for 2 years.
Mm. Now, with this being an election year, are you under, is National kind of campaigning for more infrastructure spending?
Well, definitely. Everyone agrees that we need to get going on infrastructure.
Mm.
There's no two ways about that. That's why we had that pipeline 2 years ago, why there were roads such as East-West Link. Now, that happened to be in my area, but it's for all Aucklanders and for all New Zealanders because it involves New Zealand's largest industrial area, Penrose. So although it's not kind of that sexy, Laura, you know, it involves freight and congestion and an inland port called Metroport, the last substantial study, which was back in 2012, showed that this little area in Auckland, in New Zealand, is responsible for $10 billion of our annual GDP. So when you've got a small area contributing that much to our economy, you've got to look after it. Well, right now, trucks are literally frozen. They're at a standstill in congested traffic along Nielsen Street, if you know that. They then push trucks onto suburban roads around Onehunga, which causes huge safety issues. So when you talk about spend and getting on with stuff, this is not just, oh, maybe that road, maybe that road. It's critical to New Zealand's economy. And by the way, that big plan that Labor announced a couple of days ago, not one single word about East-West Link. Nothing.
Sorry, I just got a text in. I might be able to ask you about it. Someone's just sent a text saying, should ask about the 10 two-lane bridges National promised for Northland, Simon non-bridges. Sorry, a little sassy text, but what would you say to that?
Well, there has been progress on those bridges. Maybe not their complete works, but if you go up and look at the package that Northland had delivered under our time, definitely the top three, I believe, critical bridges were done on time and in budget. And then, of course, we've had a change of government. So you're probably best to ask the question about the brand new, I think it's like $290 million package. Look, I forget what the figure was that Shane Jones just negotiated as part of New Zealand First up there. There was a real interesting stat about how much the Green Party's been able to get out of sort of environmental initiatives from being in the coalition versus this one road up in Northland that Shane Jones has got. And there's a big difference.
Now, there also has been conversations around an East-West link, that maybe this kind of hub of infrastructure and economy should be moved north. And we've kind of had a conversation before about shifting these economic hubs up north before. Is that roading going to be something that would be less necessary if we did see that shift?
No, definitely not, because what this particular industrial area, so East-West Link and the Penrose, it has an inland port, so it's about rail and roading or freight or trucks. So it's not a sea port per se, so you can't talk about shifting everything up. I mean, first of all, I don't think it's a great idea to be going up to Northport anyway. But if you're talking about putting all infrastructure up there, that's just a ridiculous idea. It's just a fanciful idea. So you're always going to need in and around New Zealand's largest industrial area freight management, so rail on and off, trucking on and off. So it's a different topic, I guess you could say, Laura.
Yeah. Also, there's been some kind of criticism around this infrastructure spending, particularly from climate change activists, for instance, who have looked at this infrastructure spending as kind of a prioritization one way and not necessarily helping us in a climate changing world. What would you think about that criticism?
Well, there are some stark realities, right? Mm. And again, I'll just use the East-West example. You've got to get household goods from A to B. We've got to eat. We've got to get stuff to our groceries. You've got to get stuff to your door and onto your table. So things, goods have to move around. So there's some realities. And you have to be, things, infrastructure doesn't come easy, and it doesn't come easy when we've got a deficit in it. So while I understand the need to look at our overall carbon footprint and what we're doing, when we're this behind, we've got to make some decisions and we've got to get on with what I'll call freight flow. Mm-hmm. I tell you what doesn't help though, Laura, is when you've got a government promising, you know, let's just say to helping out with carbon emissions, light rail and an efficient public transport scheme, and says you'll have it by 2021, and we don't even have, you know, a sketch on the back of an envelope, let alone a business costed plan, that really doesn't help.
Mm. I'll shift on to our last subject here. It's something I missed last week, which I was really looking forward to talking about, unfortunately. But I wanted to talk about whether National is looking to sign up for Facebook's political ad transparency tool.
Yeah, well, we're considering it. But what I find interesting about the whole Facebook discussion, right, is that we already have to be subject to a really rigorous approval process of our ads on Facebook. Like, you can't just whack an ad up on Facebook. Facebook have to see it, approve it. So we've already got a test that we've got to pass. What this new thing will do is just show detail about how the advertising's being spent, how it's being targeted. I'm a bit wary that we're kind of looking now with all this discussion for Facebook to be our ultimate fact checker.
Mm.
You know, just this last couple of weeks, there was this rogue, fake Pack and Save ad that went up on Facebook. So Facebook didn't catch that.
But, you know, it wasn't subject to a political ad transparency tool.
No, that's true. That's true. But I guess my point is that should the entire discussion around transparency and political transparency be confined within Facebook's domain? Mm. Here's another example for you. Labor wanted to take us to task over an ad that we created comparing what fuel prices have done under our government and under them. And they claimed that the graphic was outrageous and that the graph bars went to scale and this and that. Well, it went to the Broadcasting Standards Authority and we were cleared. It was fine.
Mm.
So there are other ways and other domains to make sure that we all are transparent and keep in line, and so we're happy to look at Facebook, but we just don't want to overestimate or overstate what it can do.
Mm. But at the same time, this is a tool that ideally we should be layering tools like this, shouldn't we, to make sure we are offering the most transparent factual information for voters.
Yep, we're happy to have that conversation, and we've never shirked away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the same way that when that fuel price graphic went to the BSA, we were happy to stand by our numbers, and sure enough, just like the allegations with the SFO, we've been cleared.
Mm. Now, are you concerned in terms of both Labour and the Green Party signing up for this, that this is kind of a call for National to do this and there might be scepticism from the public if you don't?
Well, the public will have to decide, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just like I've been saying, is everything around transparency in politics or within Facebook's domain, I would be very concerned if it does. And hey, look, if we want to talk about transparency, why did Labor take down their Kiwi Build housing counter? They reset Kiwi Build, said, right, we've reset it, and we'll tell everyone now what we're actually are going to be able to build. After 1 month, they took it off their website and we've never seen it since. So there are other bits of transparency that deserve a discussion.
That's a fair comment. I will maybe just ask you about something I'm doing on the show today. We are asking our viewers, do you feel positive about the state of political advertising in New Zealand? And our results aren't looking too favorable towards political advertising. Do you have anything that you might be able to reassure people about?
Well, sure. I mean, I guess, like anything, we all see a whole torrent of information. I'm thinking actually as I talk right now about my teenage daughters. We get a million gazillion images every single day, and we all have to think, filter, decide, discuss what we see. Anyone is welcome to make a comment, to talk about what we do as a party and transparency and truthfulness. We've had a number of allegations, and I'm sure we'll have more at us about what we've put out, and they've all come back as baseless and false. So we will stand by what we do and what we say, but hey, if you don't like what we're saying, perhaps it's because the truth might be hurting a little. And it's no surprise that when we put up stuff like the difference in fuel prices, the fact that the Kiwi Build counter is gone, the fact that light rail has not even started to happen, let alone happen by 2021, hey, maybe the truth hurts, Laura.
But, I mean, in terms of that fuel graphic also, the board did deem it was a little mischievous.
Yeah, look, they did use that, but, hey, that we still stand by it. Those who see it can make their own decision. We won't be the first or the last to be mischievous in things that we do. There's a certain point where you have to say, you know, we live in a very fast-paced, entertainment, advertised, driven world. And as long as we stand by our facts and the numbers are there, then we're good to go. It's going to be a vigorous election. Bring it on. I've got no doubt that the Labor Party, the Green Party, the New Zealand First Party, the ACT Party will also give it a real good mischievous run this year. But we're up for it, and we're looking forward to September the 19th.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it too. I love the time of year where we get to vote. So I'll ask you my last question, which you know is always a personal one.
Yep, here we go.
Yep, the hard questions, really. but I want to ask, what is the worst thing you ever did when you were a toddler? So I'm talking like terrible twos here.
Ooh, terrible twos, worst thing. Oh, you know, I'll have to really scratch my brain for this one, because I'm the middle of three girls, and you know what they say about the middle child, they're always the peacemaker and the, you know, the placid one. And I think that's largely true. So I don't know if I caught too much trouble in my terrible twos.
Did you cause any trouble, Denise, when you were little?
Well, okay, I'm going to switch around. This is really not about me, but all I can think of is what happened to me when someone else was two.
Mm-hmm.
So my sister, when she was two, and it relates to me because it's about how I came into this world. God knows how I got onto this, but here we go, Laura.
Okay.
When my sister was two, she left like some, she had like a bath or a shower or whatever in the bathroom, and she left the soap on the floor, and my mum, pregnant with me, slipped on that soap, fell over, and I was born premature hours later.
Oh my God. That is so terrifying.
Terrifying, but I think I turned out okay.
You made it.
I don't think I'm sort of totally knocked to the head in any major way. I made it. But that's my geez, it's not even about me. That was a real good hospital pass, wasn't it? I'm not the terrible two. It was my sister who was.
That's brutal.
I hope she's not listening.
Well, fingers crossed. We'll have to send it to her later. You have a good weekend, Denise, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah, you too, Laura. Take care. See you guys.
Bye.
The National Party's Denise Lee on 95 BFM.